noticed how happiness can feel fleeting? Like you're on a roller coaster, you're up 1 minute and down the next.
Yeah.
Like, what if there was a way to experience a deeper, more lasting kind of happiness, even when life gets chaotic? Well, that's what we're diving into today.
Okay.
The idea of self-realization.
Right.
We'll be exploring excerpts from a book about the teachings of Dada Bhagwan, a spiritual teacher who had a profound awakening back in 1958.
Yes. And what's particularly interesting about Dada Bhagwan's approach is that it's called the Akram path. It's described as a direct, stepless path to liberation.
A spiritual shortcut, you say. Now that's something I can get behind. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's break down what self-realization actually means and why it's considered such a big deal.
What is it?
At its core, self-realization is about realizing your true nature, the part of you that's beyond all the thoughts, emotions, and experiences that come and go. It's about discovering the eternal wellspring of happiness within. Okay, that sounds pretty amazing, but also maybe a bit abstract. How does this idea of self-realization connect to our everyday lives? You know, the day-to-day stuff we all deal with.
Well, think about the goals we have in life.
Yeah.
We all have worldly goals, things like having a fulfilling career, good relationships, financial stability. These are important. But Dada Bhagwan says they're only one piece of the puzzle. He points to an ultimate goal, and that's liberation, often referred to as moksha.
Liberation from what exactly?
Liberation from the cycle of suffering that we all experience as humans. It's about breaking free from the constant ups and downs, the anxieties, the disappointments that come with being attached to the temporary things in life.
So it's about finding peace even amidst all the chaos. I think we could all use a bit of that.
Yeah.
But how does this liberation actually happen? Is it something you achieve gradually over time or?
That's where the Akram path comes in. Traditionally, spiritual paths are often described as gradual, requiring lots of effort over many lifetimes. But Dada Bhagwan's teachings offer a different perspective. He says liberation is possible in this lifetime through a direct and immediate shift in understanding.
Okay, that sounds almost too good to be true. But how does this shift in understanding actually happen? Do you have to meditate for hours in a cave or something?
That's a common misconception about spiritual paths. Dada Bhagwan's teachings are very practical. He says the key lies in separating the I from the my.
The I from the my. Okay, I'm intrigued. Break that down for me.
It's about recognizing that our true self, the I, is distinct from all the things we identify with the my. Think about everything you consider mine, your possessions, your relationships, your body, even your thoughts and emotions. These are all temporary and constantly changing.
So you're saying our true self is something beyond all of that.
Exactly. And according to Dada Bhagwan, realizing this distinction is the key to breaking free from suffering. When we cling to the my, we're constantly at the mercy of external circumstances. But when we connect to the I, we tap into a source of peace and happiness that's independent of all those external fluctuations.
I'm starting to see where this is going, but how do we actually do this separating of the I from the my? It sounds like a pretty complex mental exercise.
It is. And that's where the role of Anani Purush comes in. This is a term for a self-realized master, someone who has already achieved this state of liberation and can guide others towards it.
So, like a spiritual teacher or mentor?
Yes. But more than that, Dada Bhagwan describes the Anani Purush as someone who can actually facilitate the separation of the I from the my for others. They impart the necessary knowledge to awaken the self.
That's a pretty powerful concept. You're saying someone can actually help you achieve this realization.
That's what Dada Bhagwan's teachings suggest. And he emphasizes that finding a true Nani Purush is an incredibly rare and fortunate occurrence.
Okay, so finding this Nani Purush is step one on the Akram path. What happens next?
Dada Bhagwan talks about a ceremony called Nanvidhi, a 2-hour process where the Nani Purush uses specific sentences and guidance to help participants realize their true self.
So it's like a catalyst for spiritual awakening.
You could say that. It's described as a powerful experience that can lead to a profound shift in understanding. But it's important to note that it's not a one-time fix-all. There's still work to be done afterward.
So it's not like you just show up, have this ceremony, and boom, you're instantly liberated.
It's more like you're given a key that unlocks a door, but you still have to walk through that door and continue on the path.
So what does that path look like? What do you do after this non-vidhi ceremony?
That's where the five Agnas come into play. These are essentially guidelines for living that help you maintain and deepen the awareness you've gained.
Ah, so this is where the rubber meets the road. You get the knowledge, but then you have to actually apply it in your daily life.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll be diving into next. We'll explore how these agnas can help you navigate the challenges and complexities of life from a place of greater peace and understanding.
Okay, I'm definitely ready to hear more about that. But for now, let me ask you this. If you were to sum up the key takeaway from this first part of our deep dive, what would it be?
I'd say it's the idea that true happiness is not something you find out there in the world. It's something you discover within yourself by realizing the distinction between the I and the my. And this realization is possible through the guidance of a Jnani Purush and the practice of the five agnas.
That's a powerful thought to sit with. So if you're listening, think about this. What are some of the things you cling to as my, and how might letting go of those attachments, even just a little bit, create more space for peace and happiness in your life? We'll be back soon to explore these ideas further, so stay tuned. Welcome back.
You know, in the last part when we were talking about separating the I from the my, it made me think about how often I define myself by external things, like my job, my accomplishments, even my Instagram followers.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get caught up in those external markers of identity.
It is.
But Dada Bhagwan's teachings encourage us to look deeper, to recognize that our true self is something much more vast and unchanging than any of those fleeting things.
It's like we're trying to build a foundation on shifting sand, right? No wonder we feel so unstable sometimes.
Exactly. And that's why the idea of flawless vision that Dada Bhagwan talks about is so important.
Okay.
It's about seeing the world, including ourselves and others, from a place of clarity and understanding, free from the distortions of our ego and attachments.
Okay, so how do we actually cultivate this flawless vision? Is it like wearing a special pair of glasses that filters out all negativity?
It's more about shifting our perspective. Recognizing that our perception is often clouded by our own biases and conditioning, Dada Bhagwan says that before self-realization, we tend to see faults in others, but not in ourselves.
Oh, that's so true. It's like we have a giant magnifying glass for other people's flaws, but we're completely blind to our own.
Yes, and this creates so much conflict and suffering. But after self-realization, Dada Bhagwan says this perspective shifts dramatically.
Okay.
You become impartial, able to see your own faults clearly without blaming others.
So it's like you're finally able to see the world and yourself with honest eyes. But wouldn't that be kind of depressing to be constantly aware of your own shortcomings?
It's not about dwelling on your flaws or feeling bad about yourself. It's about seeing them with a sense of understanding and acceptance, recognizing that we're all works in progress.
So it's about self-awareness rather than self-criticism.
Exactly. And the self-awareness is the key to growth and transformation. It's the foundation for making positive changes in your life.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this flawless vision could be really helpful in terms of personal development. But how does it affect the way we interact with others? Does it make us more tolerant of other people's flaws?
That's where the principle of adjustment comes in.
Okay.
Dada Bhagwan places a huge emphasis on adjusting to circumstances and accepting others as they are. He says it's a higher virtue than trying to change others.
That sounds incredibly difficult, especially when you're dealing with people who are, shall we say, challenging.
It definitely takes practice. But the book offers some really practical advice. For example, Dada Bhagwan says that if someone is trying to upset you or disadjust with you, you should still try to adjust with them.
So it's about not taking the bait, not letting their negativity hook you.
Exactly. He even gives the example of dealing with a difficult spouse.
Uh-huh.
If your partner is yelling, he says you should just calmly agree with them, even if you don't really mean it.
Wow, that's a radical approach. But I guess it could be really effective in de-escalating a conflict.
It's about choosing peace over being, right? And this principle of adjustment applies to all areas of life, not just personal relationships.
If I'm stuck in traffic and getting frustrated, I should just accept the situation and try to make the best of it.
Exactly. Dada Bhagwan says adjustment is a powerful tool for navigating the ups and downs of life with more grace and ease.
It's like you're choosing to surf the waves instead of letting them crash over you. But what about when we do get caught up in conflict? What's the antidote to that?
That's where pratikraman comes in.
Okay.
Three-step process of apology, repentance, and making amends for any harm you've caused, either intentionally or unintentionally.
So it's like a way to clear the air and reset the energy after a conflict.
Yes. And it's not just about apologizing to the other person. It's also about recognizing your own role in the conflict.
Yeah.
And resolving to avoid making the same mistake in the future.
It sounds like a powerful tool for healing relationships and moving forward in a more positive direction. But I have to admit, this whole idea of whatever's happened is justice still feels a bit hard to swallow.
It's a challenging concept for sure, but it's at the heart of Dada Bhagwan's teachings, and it's what we'll be exploring in the final part of our deep dive.
All right, I'm ready to tackle that. But before we do, I want to leave our listener with this question. Think about a time when you really struggled to adjust to a difficult situation. How might applying this principle of acceptance and flexibility have changed the outcome? We'll be back soon to explore this idea of whatever has happened is justices, so stay tuned. Okay, let's dive into the deep end here. In the last part, you were talking about this concept of whatever has happened is justice.
Right.
And honestly, my brain's still trying to wrap itself around that one. It
Yeah.
feels kind of counterintuitive, especially when we see so much suffering and unfairness in the world.
It is a challenging idea to grasp, especially if we're looking at it through the lens of our limited human perspective.
Right.
But Dada Bhagwan's teachings encourage us to consider a much broader perspective, one that takes into account the workings of karma over countless lifetimes.
So it's like we're only seeing a tiny sliver of the whole story.
Precisely. He often uses the analogy of a court case. Imagine you walk into a courtroom and see someone being sentenced to prison. Your immediate reaction might be, "That's so unfair." But you have no idea what led up to that moment. You haven't seen the evidence presented, the arguments made, or the person's past history.
That's a great way to put it. It's like we're judging a book by its cover without actually reading the story.
And that's essentially what we're doing when we label things as unfair or unjust. We're making judgments based on incomplete information.
So, how does this idea of whatever has happened is justice apply to, say, personal relationships? Like, if someone betrays your trust, are you saying we should just accept it as some kind of karmic payback?
It's not about condoning hurtful actions or resigning yourself to being a victim. It's about understanding that the other person is operating from their own level of understanding, their own karmic baggage. They're doing the best they can with the awareness they have.
So it's about shifting the focus from blame to understanding.
Exactly. And this doesn't mean we should just passively accept bad behavior. We can still set boundaries, make choices that protect our well-being, and work towards positive change. But understanding that ultimately everyone is responsible for their own actions and their own karma can bring a sense of peace and detachment.
That makes sense. It's like you're releasing the need to control or change other people. You're accepting that they have their own journey and you have yours. But doesn't this idea of karma kind of negate the idea of free will?
That's a question philosophers have been wrestling with for ages. But Dada Bhagwan's teachings offer a nuanced perspective.
Okay.
He says that while our past actions create the circumstances of our lives, we still have the freedom to choose how we respond to those circumstances.
So we're not just puppets of fate. We still have agency.
Absolutely. And
Oof.
this is where self-realization becomes so empowering. It gives us the clarity to make choices that are aligned with our true nature, choices that lead to greater peace and liberation rather than further entanglement and suffering.
And this is where the five Agnes come in, right? They're like a guidebook for making those skillful choices.
Exactly. By following these guidelines, we're essentially refining our actions and intentions, creating new karmic patterns that are more conducive to happiness and liberation.
It's like we're taking responsibility for our own destiny, shaping our future with each choice we make. But I have to admit, even with this understanding, it's still hard to wrap my head around the idea that everything that happens is just. How can we find peace when faced with real tragedy, loss, or suffering?
That's where the practice of Patikraman becomes so essential. It's about acknowledging the pain, taking responsibility for any part we may have played in creating it, and seeking forgiveness from those we may have harmed, including ourselves.
So it's a way to process difficult experiences and find a path towards healing and resolution.
Yes. And it's also about cultivating a sense of compassion both for ourselves and others, recognizing that everyone is dealing with their own karmic baggage, their own struggles and challenges.
That's a powerful reminder. It's like you're extending that understanding of whatever has happened is justice to the entire human experience. We're all in this together, learning and growing through our joys and sorrows.
Exactly. And as we cultivate this understanding and apply these practices in our lives, something remarkable happens. We start to experience a profound sense of peace.
A peace that comes from letting go of the need to control, judge, or blame.
Yes, it's a peace that arises from accepting what is learning from our experiences and making choices that align with our true nature. And this peace is the foundation for true happiness and liberation.
This has been such an enlightening conversation. Thank you for sharing your insights on these profound teachings. I feel like we've only scratched the surface of this vast topic, but it's definitely given me a lot to think about.
It's been a pleasure. And remember, the path of self-realization is a journey, not a destination. It's a process of ongoing discovery and growth.
And on that note, I want to leave our listeners with this final thought. As you go about your day, notice the moments when you feel a sense of injustice or unfairness. See if you can approach those situations from a place of understanding rather than judgment. And remember, true peace and happiness are not dependent on external circumstances, but on the choices we make and the awareness we cultivate. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into self-realization.